Welcome to Jazz Happens, the podcast discussing jazz in St. Louis from the artist's perspective. Jazz Happens is brought to you by the Young Friends of Jazz St. Louis and Drinks and Jazz at Nancy's, produced by Confluence Studios.
Welcome to Jazz Happens. Today we have Anat Cohen, clarinetist and band leader from Tel Aviv, Israel. Do you still reside in Tel Aviv?
No, I've been living in New York for over 20 years now.
New York, okay.
Brooklyn, that is.
Brooklyn, all right. Anat won the up-and-coming artist and clarinetist of the year from the Jazz Journalists Association. Welcome to Jazz Happens. That was in 2007. It's been a while. Welcome to Jazz Happens. As you know here, we have a focus on our students. They are the next generation of jazz enthusiasts, so we gear this a little bit toward them. we have a few sort of standard questions, and then we have some questions from the students. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. It seems as though you enjoy to mix things up from band to band and album to album, blending a range of instrumentation, sonic textures, and musical styles. What's your process when approaching a new project, be it an album or a live band, et cetera? Do you go into it with a notion of something you'd like to achieve, or does it come together more organically?
It definitely comes together more organically. I think, we can think about the sonority of the instrument, of course, and we can think about the ensemble and the music, but really when it comes to the people, there are people behind the instrument, the people make the music, and some people will make the different people will make the same instrument sounds different, and they have obviously different journeys they're on. So I have a couple of bands, for example, that play that are inspired by Brazilian choro music. One I play with Trio Brasileiro. Mm-hmm. And one is three other musicians we call Choro Aventuroso. And we're both inspired by Brazilian music, choro, but the two bands are very different. Mm-hmm. So the musicians are different. They're into different music, the kind of chemistry. We evoke different things in each other. So I think it changes, depends on the personnel.
Yeah. So, speaking of Brazilian music, did you decide you wanted to pursue Brazilian styles, or like when you got some people together, started playing, did you realize that it was sort of in a Brazilian style?
I definitely got into Brazilian music playing Brazilian music, okay. Which I lived in Boston. I was at Berklee College of Music, and I met some Brazilian people. They called me to play with them, and I was like, wow, this music feels so good.
Yeah.
I want to know more. I want to play it more. I want to learn more about it. And I decided to, a couple of years later, I just bought a ticket to Brazil, and I went there for 2 months, and everybody said, oh, so who are you going on the road with? It was right after I moved to New York, and I said, well, I'm not going on the road. I'm just going to Brazil. And they're like, what? Well, what about your gigs? And what about the New York and live? And I'm like, wait, hey, this is life too.
Yeah.
And I went there, and my life was never the same, because it completed a certain part in me that I was searching for. It gave me certain comfort. It gave me certain understanding about music, about people, about reaching out, about bringing people together. So sometimes it's not the music that teaches you about your concept of being. It's actually everything around it.
Yeah, the culture around it, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could pick your biggest influence other than jazz that has had the greatest impact on you as a musician, musical other, what influence would that be?
Well, yeah. I would say, probably some samba singers from Brazil. And, you think about Beth Carvalho, and you think about Paulinho da Viola, some of that old cartola, the old samba, guarda velha, all kind of samba music.
What about jazz? Any specific jazz influences?
There's a lot of jazz influences,
okay.
Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong, John Coltrane.
Of course.
That's top.
Yeah.
And then my brothers, Yuval and Avishai.
Okay.
I heard them first before I heard anybody else.
They play horn as well?
Yeah, my two brothers are wonderful musicians and wonderful human beings. They inspire me in every sense, even in jogging, because we, beside music, we have in our group messaging, we keep texting each other how much each one ran each day, and and if somebody just being, you know, lazy for a few days, we encourage each other. And the same thing with music, and the same thing with life and personal growth. And so my older brother Yuval plays the soprano saxophone, and my younger brother Avishai plays the trumpet. Now I just say older and younger, we all, you know, very close in age, but you know, it is the hierarchy of our family. So sure. I'm in the middle, the sandwich girl.
Well, I'm an only child, so I have to go outside the family to find those playing buddies. So.
But once you find them,
it's a wonderful thing.
You get to
thing.
Choose.
Yeah. That's true. You don't get to choose so much, do
no.
you?
No, but it's okay. I'm happy with what I got.
So, as you know, the this podcast, Jazz Happens, is geared a little bit toward our students of Jazz Academy and Jazz U, and we asked them to give us some questions. And so this week, we sometimes get a few and sometimes we get none, and this week we got more than a few. So first question is, so why the clarinet? We found out that you started playing clarinet and saxophone. What was it that drew you to these instruments, and why did you maybe gravitate toward clarinet over saxophone?
Well, I think the clarinet is just the coolest instrument ever.
Has a great sound.
And not enough people play it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I really, there was something so attractive when I remember as a little girl that I heard the sound, that low register of the clarinet, something so soothing and so caressing mm-hmm. about that sound. And it has a wide range, and it's just, it has such a human voice mm-hmm. that I feel... I don't know. I feel like clarinet. I didn't choose the clarinet. The clarinet chose me.
Well, so sometimes that happens.
It just happened. And as far as the between the saxophone and the clarinet, sometimes I like to play the saxophone. Depends what kind of music it is. But one thing for sure is the clarinet is much smaller to carry around the world. Convenient at the airports, which leads us to the next question.
Yeah. Do you like being on tour? Is it a never-ending tour?
It is a never-ending tour. I love being on the road. I love arriving at new places. I don't love necessarily the airport part and the flying part and the travel part, but I love the fact that you arrive in a new place and maybe you did not sleep all night, maybe you don't speak the language, maybe you don't know where you are, maybe you're not in the mood, and then you go on stage and it makes everything better.
Yeah.
It's just the most grounding experience for me. Is like you don't know where you are, and then you just go on the stage and suddenly you're here, you're now, you're committed to the moment.
And everyone's speaking the same language.
And this is it. And from there on, you're here. So this is a wonderful thing.
That is a wonderful thing. So what was it like growing up in your home? And that was the question. So I'm not sure exactly what they meant, if it was your household or if it was the, you know, Tel Aviv, but we heard a little bit about your brothers, so maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that and how that encouraged you, pushed you into music. And then is there anything about Tel Aviv, like a Tel Aviv jazz scene that you can tell us about?
There's definitely a Tel Aviv jazz scene right now. There's a lot of brilliant young musicians that play, and young and less young, you know, people that play play jazz in Israel. They're really dedicated to the music. I grew up with two brothers that play music. So if you're listening and you have a sibling that play music, please play music with your sibling. I know when you're young, it might not be seem so important, and it might not be on the top of your list to make music with your brother, with your sister, and sometimes you fight a lot. But I grew up with my brothers. We didn't really realize the connection that we have, but mm-hmm. we listened. We had the same teachers. We played in the same bands. We had the same. We're in the same schools, and then one day later, years later, we said, "Wait a second, we have such a common thing, that music," and we started to play together. We have a band, it's called the Three Cohens, mm-hmm. and we sometimes travel around the world, the three of us with our band, and we play music, and it's such a phenomenal experience mm-hmm. because it's like you go around, you go in the world and you look for friends, you know, you look for siblings, you look for people to communicate with, and then you realize, wait, the people I grew up with
Been here the whole time.
They're just there, and it's so natural.
Right.
So, you know, we play together in Carnegie Hall. We play together in the Mozart Hall in Vienna. It's just such a great thing to share music with your siblings. So that's first thing. You should definitely do that if you can at some point. But beside that, and, you know, our parents were very dedicated, and they loved music, and they loved, you know, taking us around. And
were they musicians?
Yeah, my mother plays accordion and some keyboard, and my father had such a vast majority, vast knowledge in so many records, and you know, he saw Benny Goodman and he saw Louis Armstrong at some point of his life, you know, and he knew a lot about classical music. So they really supported us. They paid for our lessons. They drove us around. They came to so many concerts of three of us. It's not just one kid playing, you can imagine. But they did it all loving and supporting. And so we're very, very lucky. And we have a lot of friends that play music and that are still our friends. We play together, people that we grew up with. So Tel Aviv was very fertile land.
Excellent. That's great to hear. So do you have a practice routine that you stick to? How do you stay up on your chops, your playing chops? What can you tell our students?
Well, the routine, you know, when I get to have a routine, when I stay in one place for a little bit, and for me sometimes a little bit, it's only 2 weeks. But mm-hmm. I love having a routine. When you get to do something from one day to the next and remember what I practiced today and what I practiced the next day, there's certain things that I always do. I always think a little bit of the sound. I practice some long tones. I love playing classical music. So, and I love creating my own exercises. Mm-hmm. So there's
always
a
blended practice routine.
Yeah, it's a lot of different things. Of course, if I have to prepare for a specific show, I learn the repertoire. But I think in general, this kind of division, sometimes I have to just say 10 minutes of each little thing, like mm-hmm. 10 minutes of playing Bach, 10 minutes mm-hmm. of playing some long tones, 10 minutes of playing some chromatic instrument. Sometimes you work on harmony, sometimes you work on the rhythm. And so it's a great thing. And then I go on the road and everything disappears. I go into a different world and different zone in my mind. And then I come back after a month and I'm like, what was I practicing a month? And I have no recollection unless I write it down.
Sure.
Then you start from scratch. It's like having amnesia constantly.
It sounds like your routine comes from a joy of just playing. And we talked about that with Christian McBride, is that if you don't have a love for playing the instrument itself, you're not going to fall into a practice routine. You're going to be forcing yourself the whole time. So you have to love what you do, be it practice or performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this our relationship with the instrument, it's the same like jogging, or it's the same like, mm-hmm. You know, one day you're in the mood for it and some days you're less, and you fall out of it a little bit and you come back and sometimes you're more inspired and sometimes you're less inspired. But the wonderful thing about living, but the nice thing, you know, the wonderful thing about living in New York, that if you just lose your inspiration just for a second, all you have to do is just, you go out, you walk into any of the clubs in New York and you say, wow, I'm going to go home and practice.
Yes, practice definitely makes better. So if you recall, what was the first song you ever learned, or what was the first song you remember learning?
I don't recall. Definitely not recall. But maybe one of those Charlie Parker, maybe My Little Suede Shoes.
Okay.
It's an easy one, and I remember
Blue Suede Shoes?
My Little...
Different song?
Yeah, it's a different song.
Sorry.
I think maybe
Will you ever play bass clarinet?
Yeah. It's my, it's on my, that's my, the next thing.
Okay,
it's
so that's
up.
Something you are striving to do?
It's in progress.
Okay, so maybe we can hear that next time you come through St. Louis?
Exactly, if I want to carry it, yes.
Well, you said earlier that clarinet was, you know, small and easy to port. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was in the junior orchestra, and I chose bass. And my mom and dad were always asking me why I couldn't have chosen the
piccolo,
violin, or something else, right? Because it was always driving around with the headstock of the bass sticking out the window of the car because we didn't have room for it.
Yeah, really. But then the bass players, they got the power.
They got the power.
You got the
power. Got the rhythm.
But you have to suffer schlepping it around.
So, sort of wrapping up, is there any wisdom or advice you could share with musicians, aspiring or otherwise, that might be listening to this?
Just remember that music is a social experience. It's a social event. Playing music, remember again that you're not playing with an instrument, you're playing with a person. And if you lift yourself up from your cell phones and from the computer screen and you actually can communicate from your heart to another person's heart, and you don't need words, you just need notes and emotions and care, and you can make someone's day so much better, and you might feel much better yourself. So you should let music guide you, let it connect you to other people, because there's nothing like it.
Right. So what's next, other than bass clarinet? What's on the horizon?
Well, coming up a new album this year with my Tentet.
Okay.
10-piece band that I'm here this week with Anthony Pinciotti and Tal Mashiach. They're playing in my quartet, and they're playing also in the Tentet.
Okay.
So it's gonna be nice, and some continuation of CDs that came out in the last year or two, and some shows, some Brazilian shows with Marcelo Gonçalves in duo with a 7-string guitar and with Trio Brasileiro. I'm going to Ecuador next week, and I don't know, a lot of little projects.
Yeah,
we have some tours, and come with an all-female band, an awesome, awesome, fantastic musicians, a band, new band called Artemis.
Artemis? Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And we're actually going to be here in St. Louis.
In the fall, right?
Sometime either in the fall or sometime either by the end of later in the year, I think. Yeah, so they're great and
excellent. Maybe we can follow up with you again at that time.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So how do our listeners find out more about you and your upcoming projects?
Well, of course, my name is Anat Cohen,
right?
And I'm a .com, AnatCohen.com, or you go to your social media favorite, Instagram or Facebook, Anat Cohen Jazz.
And they will find you there as well.
Yeah.
First, last name.
If you put Anat Cohen and clarinet, they'll find me.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
We're looking forward to tonight's show, and we'll talk to you again, I hope.
I hope so, too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.